This is New York Game Day with Anita Marks and Chris Canty on 98.7 ESPN.
Without further ado, Rob Demosky joins us now, does a phenomenal job covering the Green Bay Packers for ESPN. Rob, welcome on. You're on with me, of course, Anita Marks, Chris Canty, and, of course, Mike Tannenbaum. First things first, let's talk about this Packers team. One thing that is really impressive to me, we talk about how great the offense is, but defensively, the last 4 weeks, they've been able to turn it around. Teams are only averaging 16 points per game against them. What has been the biggest difference on the defensive side of the ball for the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, Anita, it's been a couple things, and it's great to be with you guys. For one, the play of their safeties, Darnell Savage and Adrian Amos, has been outstanding, say, probably since about the Colts game on, which is the game they lost in overtime. 31-28. Those guys have just all of a sudden become playmakers. Like, Savage had no interceptions the first, I think, 11 weeks of the season, and he ended up finishing with four in, like, the last 6 weeks. So that's been big. They made a change at inside linebacker, putting a rookie, an undrafted rookie, Chris Barnes, in the middle and moving Christian Kirksey to the weak side spot, and that has helped incredibly. And then their first-round pick from 2 years ago, Rashawn Gary, the edge rusher out of Michigan, was the 12th pick of the 2019 draft. He has finally started to play, you know, at a high level. And you throw that in with the pass rush of the Smiths and a lockdown cornerback in Jair Alexander, and it's really started to kind of all come together like it really didn't, you know, for all of last year and probably the first three quarters of this year.
Rob, in trying to break down this matchup, a lot of people go back to the week six game that the Packers and the Bucs played. And in that game, there are a couple of things that were uncharacteristic from Aaron Rodgers. Number one, he didn't throw a touchdown pass in that game, which is the only game that he's had like that this entire season. The other thing that he did that he didn't do in any other game this season is throw multiple interceptions. Now, I know Todd Bowles brought a lot of blitz. Teams don't have success blitzing Aaron Rodgers, but the Bucs were able to in that game. They got to him three times bringing the blitz. So my question to you is this. What are the Packers planning on doing in order to neutralize the Bucs bringing that pressure on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, Chris, it's a good point. Run the ball. That's what they got away from that so quickly in the Tampa game. And remember they were up 10-0 in that game?
Yep.
They were up 10-0. And had the football, and Rodgers threw the pick six, which is another thing he almost never does. That was only the third pick six of his career. And LaFleur actually admitted earlier this week, Matt LaFleur, the head coach and the offensive play caller, that he got away from the run too soon in that game. And they have such a dynamic running back situation with obviously Aaron Jones, but also Jamal Williams and A.J. Dillon. That they need to stick with it. The other thing that's been interesting, really for all of the last maybe two seasons, Chris, is that, you know, in their offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett, has mentioned this time and again, that don't watch what a team does on film, and they'll be expecting this or that, and then that team comes in and plays the Packers completely different than what they had seen. So I think they finally, as a staff, have gotten used to being able to adjust better on the fly, because that was something that they really struggled with, where when they expected one thing and teams came with another, you know, that really hurt them. So I think they've gotten a lot better at that, as you would expect a second-year staff to do.
Rob, how about the loss of David Bakhtiari and the play of Billy Turner, and how do you expect that to play out today?
Yeah, Mike, you know, Aaron Rodgers called Billy Turner the unsung hero on this team after their win over the Rams, and in part it's because of what he's done in moving around. He's played both tackle spots and right guard this year. He's now settled in at left tackle, you know, since Bakhtiari's torn ACL. But, you know, look, as you know, Mike, you don't not miss a $100 million all-pro left tackle. I mean, that's just the facts. You know, he is the starter for a reason, but they have done a pretty good job moving guys around. Elgton Jenkins, their left guard, the second-year guy, has been a tremendous draft pick. Having all-pro center Corey Linsley sort of help direct traffic has been, you know, really good. But look, this Bucs front seven is, you know, it's strong, it's fast. You know, that's the thing, you know, going back to Chris's question a little bit, that's the thing that kind of wrecked the game in Tampa was Devin White and Levante David. You know, they're fast, speedy linebackers. You know, impacted the game, and it's on that Packers offensive line to figure it out, play better. That was one game that Rodgers was sacked, I think, four times, and I think he only had two games all year where he was sacked more than twice. So, you know, that definitely bears watching this afternoon of how not only Billy Turner, number 77, plays on the left side, but how that entire group up front plays.
Again, Rob Demoski joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. This is pure personal and selfish reasons whether or not I should play Mike Evans in DFS this week, Rob. And that is, how do you feel that the Green Bay Packers are going to be covering him? All right, back in Week 6, Alexander manned up on him, but I know the past few weeks he's just been staying on one side of the field. What do you anticipate, especially with no Antonio Brown? I think Mike Evans is going to potentially get a lot of targets. How do you see this Green Bay Packers secondary going up against Mike Evans?
I think they put Jair at him all day, Anita, not only because Jair is just an absolutely fantastic shutdown corner, but because Kevin King, their other corner, is questionable with a back injury, didn't practice on Friday. Even if he plays, no, I would think they'd want to try to give him a more favorable matchup. Alexander has really come into his own. I'm not saying he's going to shut down Mike Evans, but he has shut down a ton of guys this year. I mean, Pro Football Focus has every week puts out, like, how many targets, how many yards. And I think last week, I think he allowed, like, three completions for minus 1 yard total. Like, I mean, it's just... He's been fantastic. Probably Brian Gutekunst's best pick in his time as general manager. But look, Mike Evans is obviously fantastic. It's funny you say that because my son had Mike Evans on his fantasy team all year, so I am a little bit more familiar with Evans' year and week in and week out performance just because I hear it in my house all the time. But I think it's going to be another great matchup.
Rob, what's the status of A.J. Dillon? Is he going to be a part of that rotation with the running backs in the Packers' backfield?
Well, he's healthy. He was off the injury report, but, you know, it goes back to what we talked about earlier with sticking with the run. You know, there's only so many carries to go around. You certainly want to get, you know, Aaron Jones the bulk of the touches. But, you know, it's sort of amazing because since A.J. Dillon had that monster game against, I think it was Tennessee, where he had 124 yards, he really hasn't been a big part of the offense, but when you have Aaron Jones ripping off 60-yard runs to start the second half of a playoff game like he did last week, it's hard to get away from that as well. I just think it's probably the Aaron Jones show, and if they need Jamal Williams and A.J. Dillon, then they know they have capable guys.
And, Rob, how about we've talked a little bit so far about the weather conditions, but how do you think the overall the field's going to hold up, precipitation, temperature?
Yeah, it snowed overnight. My wife told me before I get to the stadium, go to the stadium, I have to snow blow the driveway. So I'll be doing that when I get done with you guys before I head over to Lambeau. But it's actually like it's not windy, and to me that's, you know, like as far as the passing game, like the snow, the cold, I don't think any of that really matters. It's like 25, 30 degrees somewhere in that range. It's the wind, and I go back to Favre. He always used to talk about that. Again, the only thing that could, you know, change things is the wind, and it is not windy at all. I think the footing is going to be fine. They do a great job on the field here. It's so much better than it was, say, you know, 10 years ago. I don't know, Chris, if you ever played here in the...
It was
much worse probably during your time than it is now. They've really done a great job with the field, and I don't expect it to be a big factor.
Great stuff, Rob. Thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning. Enjoy the game later on this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks, guys. We'll be seeing you.
This is New York Game Day with Anita Marks and Chris Canty on 98.7 ESPN.